We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner and Ron the Show Hughley. It's Clint Sterner and the Show.
Oh, Dirty, we got a whole lot to get to today. Russell Westbrook is going to miss a couple of games in the postseason to start the playoffs, or more. We'll get into that. But the Texans made a move today. They made a move and got a defensive lineman. So did another team in Texas. I don't know about you, Clint. I wish that the Houston Texans made the move that the Dallas Cowboys made. The Texans go out and get second-year train wreck, it appears that he is. If you read everything about him, P.J. Hall out of Sam Houston State from the Raiders, second-round pick in 2018, they pick him up, but the Cowboys go out and get Everson Damn Griffin. Clint, you know I wanted
it. We talked about it. God. We talked about it earlier in the week, man. You know, the P.J. Hall signing is you know, I'm not – it doesn't move the needle for me.
Well,
I mean, I'm not one of those – I don't look at a guy that was drafted early in 2018 with this crazy athletic ability for a 300-pound interior defensive lineman. And either way, not – I don't feel real, you know, positive about his athletic ability and his size coming out of Sam Houston. I don't feel real – I don't have a real negative take on the fact that he showed up at Raiders camp – In 1 year's worth of work with the Raiders, or 2 years worth of work with the Raiders, and somehow found a way to show up to camp overweight, and can the basic disciplines of being a ball player and being a big offensive or defensive lineman in the NFL, a young defensive lineman in the NFL, one of the disciplines you have to have is to be able to control your weight, show up in shape. If you're a 10-year vet, if you're Flozell Adams, if you're Larry Allen. You know, if you're one of them guys, if you're Wade Smith and you've been in this thing for 12, you can show up 10 pounds over. They'll give you a little – they'll get you with the strength coach and let you get in shape. A second-year guy out of a small school, that's a bad idea. And so while it looks bad, I'm not too beat up about it. I don't – this is one of those to me that it's a why-not move. It's an interior defensive lineman with what they think could be a very high ceiling if you get him around the right guys, get him in a good culture – you never know what could happen. So, I look at it and I'm not, it doesn't move my needle. The thing is the same day, the Dallas Cowboys up 45 signed Everson Griffin. And when you automatically start comparing. You start comparing the two organizations. And I didn't realize that the Cowboys and the Texans were so similar in terms of their defensive front. I didn't realize that both teams have a foundational piece. Tank Lawrence in Dallas.
DeMarcus Lawrence, yeah, one of the best.
Just paid him a bunch of money, franchised him 1 year, then paid him some money. J.J. Watt here in Houston. Both guys that they don't need dominant players around them to be forces in this league. But they're pieces that you can build around. They're pieces that defenses build around. They're foundational pieces to a defensive front. And you go, okay, well, let's build around these guys. Let's take a glance at what the Cowboys have done. They got that foundational guy. They added Dontario Poe. They added Gerald McCoy, two experienced veterans that you know exactly what you're going to get from the inside.
Former top 12 first-round picks, both of them.
They drafted Neville Gallimore in the third round, who a lot of people said was a second-round yep. draft pick out of Oklahoma. And so come out of a good program. Benny Wiley's a strength coach there. You know they do a good job in terms of developing players physically there. Neville Gallimore will be a good add for that defensive front.
They had him in the same range as Ross Blacklock yep. coming into the draft. So, yep.
They added Alden Smith, who you and I had we had jokingly had a bet. Not the bet's not a joke, but it was
a joke.
No, I'm still I love my bet, but it was funny. We were laughing. This guy hadn't been in the league since 2015. But hey, why not? If he's got a little bit of juice left in the tank, he was the best in the league at one point at getting after the quarterback. If he's got a little juice left in the tank, he can help you in obvious passing situations.
So you're telling me the Cowboys, why not, was on a Hall of Fame trajectory, and the Texans, why not, came in overweight with the Raiders.
There gotcha. You go. There you go. Now you got it. And they got Randy Gregory, by the way, who he's suspended right now, but if he comes back and can do some things. So you just look at the way they built around that foundational piece. And with the draft, with veteran free agents, with guys that hadn't been in the league for a while. And then what do? They go add Everson Griffin. They go add a player that, hey, what if DeMarcus Lawrence, what if he goes down? Not a good thing at all, but you have pieces in that defensive front that can still go get the quarterback, that can still stop the run. Their defense doesn't hinge on the health of one player.
Proven pieces
across the board. Depth. I mean, look at their depth right now, man. They got Tristan Hill, Tyrone Crawford, Joe Thomas at the ends and linebacker and interior position. At all, both levels of that defense, they've got some good players. Randy Gregory's a left defensive end backup. I mean, good gosh, the Cowboys have done precisely what I hoped the Texans would do and go out and build around J.J. Watt and make an aggressive, obvious attempt to do so instead of just being patient and picking a couple of guys here and there that are good depth builders and a lot of if guys.
Clint Sterner, Ron, the show, Hughley here with you on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. See, in so many cases, these two moves for Texans fans should be infuriating, right? I know I'm fans. I want to take a step back. You know how I'm going to do it. I'm going to wait and see what the potential plan is. All right, if they sign Logan Ryan, the Texans, all right, they've added an impact player. I'm good. But if they sit here going into September 10th, when they have $21 million in play to spend money with guys out, and they let Everson Griffin go for a one-year deal for less than $6 million. Like, this is a guy who put up 8 sacks, would have been right there with the team lead last year, that gets to play with J.J. Watt. 1 year, $6 million. If they come to it and don't add anything else, and that was out there on the table, going to be a problem. As you said, man, Dallas is doing exactly what you would have wanted the Texans to do. And wouldn't you say both teams are in the same space of yes. trying to get to their league's yeah. championship game with their quarterbacks?
Yes.
And the Cowboys they're throwing at it at a weakness.
The Cowboys are better than an 8-8 football team. I mean, they are better than an 8-8 football team. I would put them alongside with the Texans in a sense of, all right, now we know you're talented. Can you take the next step and be a real contender in this league, or do you continue to disappoint? I think both teams are right there neck and neck in that position. Let me put this in perspective, show. The Cowboys, they got Everson Griffin, Alden Smith, Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, all for $15.6 million total. Total, $15.6 million.
The Texans have $21 million in the cap to spend.
Bingo. Bingo. The Pittsburgh Steelers, Bud Dupree, they gave him $15.8 million for this year alone. The Cowboys went out and got Everson Griffin, Alden Smith, Gerald McCoy, Dontari Poe, and Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, who, by the way, all other than Alden Smith, ESPN's already updated as starters on the depth chart.
Already.
I mean, they're guys you plug in right now as starters. And you, put these things in perspective. You look at what Whitney Merciless got this year.
I'll say it for before any Texans fans are yelling it right now. And Whitney's making 13.
Yeah. Well, he got 7.5 up front, and he got 10.5, I believe was the number, this first season. So you look at it, it's $18 million in year one that's going to be guaranteed to him. And I like Whitney. I like Whitney, but boy, you talk about the Cowboys doing more with less. They went out and signed some serious competition in their defensive front, some serious players in their defensive front, and they stretched $15.5 million as far as any organization has stretched $15.5 million in a minute.
Yeah, like I said, Clint, we agree. The Dallas Cowboys have done exactly what the Texans, I think Texans fans would have wished they would have approached adding parts on their defense with cheap, getting value, proven, productive players. Clint, outside of Aldon Smith, who he's a real flyer. Like, this guy hasn't played in 5 years. Everson Griffin, Gerald McCoy, Don Terry Poe, haha, Clinton Dix, add any one of them. Just any one of them. They're all on the defensive line, pass rushers, and a safety. Add any one of them, the Texans, you'd feel more comfortable about them. Not all of them. Just one of them.
Yeah.
If you had haha, Clinton Dix instead of Eric Murray, how much more comfortable would you feel back there? If you had McCoy right there as an inside pass rusher or Don Terry Poe as an inside, like, just one of them. They added all of them. As I said, the last time they made a move when they traded DeAndre Hopkins, I said, I don't know what the hell this is, but I'm going to wait, and I'm going to see what it is the plan is. I actually liked what the plan ended up being with what they turned around to bring in. Here, I see what guys are out there. I see what money they have, so I will chill. But come September 9th, if we roll into the season and they're sitting there with $21 million and Logan Ryan was there.
Clay Matthews Clay, is still out
Everson
there.
Clay, Everson Griffin, like, were there.
Golly, you're I can't believe they got Everson Griffin for $5.8 million.
I said, he's looking for 1 year, and it is not going to cost what you think for a guy who is a double-digit sack guy, a guy who had 8 sacks last year. And I look at what Dallas is, and Dallas and Jerry are trying to go win it. And that's what I thought the Texans are. And I believe that's where the Texans are. They say that they've made some
moves. Well, in terms of their front, they're not doing what they need to do to win it. I mean, you go Ross Blacklock in the second round, I like. Jonathan Greenard in the third round, I like. The failed Timmy Jernigan experiment, I don't know what happened there. He clearly didn't pass a physical. Maybe that's not on them, so he bounces. Now you sign P.J. Hall. I mean, you look around, and then you add to that list my man that bounced and signed a big deal in Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah, D.J. Reader.
D.J. Reader bounces. So you subtracted while these other cats were adding a boatload of players. I mean, it's just one of those things where you look at the Texans' front, and, hell, it hinges more on J.J. Watt's health right now than it did before the offseason started at the end of last year. Yeah. I mean, it's without D.J. Reader and not adding anybody other than rookies, you hope those guys pan out. I think they will, but – damn, they're thin up front, man.
Yeah, and the Cowboys weren't even linked to him. They came out of nowhere, as many people have said. Ian Rappaport said he had been linked to Seattle. He had been linked to Green Bay. Hell, we heard the Texans in there, and then out of nowhere, Dallas comes in for six.
He did say he was named after Everson Walls.
Okay, that's great.
There's a Cowboy tie. Right.
if he's six, Clint, would you have given him eight?
Yes.
Six, you said, all right, we'll give you 1 year eight. If you're the Texans, would you have done that?
Yes. I mean, I think you're that desperate of you're not desperate, but the need is that big for somebody opposite J.J. Watt, somebody alongside J.J. Yes, I would have.
If you are saying,
I'd have overspent.
You're saying we want to compete with the Ravens and the Chiefs, then you are desperate.
If Randall Cobb is worth $9 million a year, Everson Griffin is worth.
God, that's a good hill. Yes. By the way, the Chiefs somehow again found a way to extend Travis Kelce, and he's going to be getting $14 to $15 million over the next 4 years.
So that's Kelce, Mahomes. it's all of them across the board, right?
Kelce long-term, Mahomes long-term.
Tyreek Hill long-term.
They just drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Mecole Hardman still on his rookie deal.
Second, yep. Chris Jones long-term, Frank Clark long-term.
Tyrann Mathieu long-term.
All right, the latest news on Russell Westbrook is out. It ain't good news, folks, and I'll be honest with you. I think the Rockets are in trouble. We'll get to that next.
Tell you what, Clint, I would bet my left test.
Texas training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Stern and the show.
All right, this is the latest here on Russell Westbrook, Clint. Russell Westbrook will miss at least the first few playoff games for the Rockets due to his right quad injury. Could white be
quad? White. Does he have a white one, too?
He has a white quad and a right quad.
I bet there's more twitch in that right one.
A little more twitch. Twitch in the white one. His white one's fine. But his right quad is where he's having trouble. Could be more than just the first few games. They're going to reevaluate after that. Clint, we had a spirited conversation. You can hit the radio.com rewind on there, and you can check that in hour two yesterday. We had a spirited conversation about them without Westbrook against the Jazz. Well, we know who their opponent's going to be now. They're going to play Chris Paul, the angry man, led Oklahoma City Thunder team in the first round of the playoffs. It looks like Westbrook is going to be out for at least the first couple games. Clint, I think they're in trouble. I don't see how they can beat the Oklahoma City Thunder without Russell Westbrook.
I mean, obviously, it's a the team's going to struggle more than they would with him. Obviously, I mean, he's a great player. He sets the tempo for this team. He's a big time weapon for the Rockets. When I look at the Thunder, I don't look at the Thunder and go, "Uh-oh, what are the Rockets going to do now that, without Westbrook?" I still think they're going to be able to score the basket. I still think they're going to be able to play defense. I still think they're going to be able to put big boy in the middle. What's my man in the middle? Steven Adams. They're still going to be able to put big boy between a rock and a hard place on their offensive end of the floor. So the problems are still there. You'd rather see him start the playoffs full go, full tilt with all the pieces healthy. And it's unfortunate that Westbrook's not going to be there. But again, in this first round matchup, I thought it would be Utah. Obviously, I thought I farted, but you know what I mean? When it all boils down to it, it's Oklahoma City, and truth be told, they don't strike fear in me like the top dogs do across the league right now. And I don't think that the Rockets are in a panic mode because Westbrook's not going to be there the first couple of days.
Nor should you, but the Rockets, to me, are going to have a problem with any of these teams that they don't have Russell Westbrook. I mean, this isn't Ben McLemore, and I know you're not saying that, but 713-572-4610. As I said, man, I don't see how the Rockets can beat the Thunder. If Westbrook is potentially out for the entire series and that's on the table, I don't see how they can win the series. And here's my thing, man. One, he's the emotional leader on this team and changed the way this team started to play. When the Rockets really started to move, they took on his personality and played really, really hard, aggressive. That was when you really saw them take off, when they pretty much changed the whole team to fit around him. And let's just be real. Now, this guy averages over 27 a game this year, 7 assists, only second on the team to Harden. And here it is, your big issue. You already get blown out of the gym every game you play in terms of rebounding. That's your biggest problem. Westbrook is your best rebounder. He leads the team in rebounds with 8. Steven Adams, the big fella, the 7-footer for the Thunder, is going to be a problem. And especially if P.J. Tucker, who once again was 1-for-4 yesterday from 3 and is shooting a horrible percentage from 3 in the bubble, if he's not knocking down shots, dude, it's a problem. It's a real problem if Westbrook's not there.
Yeah, I think, again, I agree with the point. I think Steven Adams at 7 foot is going to be a problem for the Rockets, whether Westbrook's there or not. And I think that there's no way the Rockets are winning a series against anybody with or without Westbrook if P.J. Tucker ain't shooting it better from the corner. Yeah, and if Eric Gordon ain't knocking it down the way that you know he can knock it down. I mean, I look at it as Westbrook is the catalyst that's going to allow the Rockets to make a deep run in the playoffs. I don't know that he's necessary for the first two games at Oklahoma City to where all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh, what in the hell are the Rockets going to do? If the Rockets do what they're built to do, which is shoot the rock from beyond the arc, really put pressure on a team that's playing a 7-footer like Steven Adams, how are they going to defend the Rockets? if they do that on the offensive end of the floor, I feel like they'll be fine.
We'll see. Once again, 713-572-4610. Where are you at? Russell Westbrook will miss the first couple of games, at least, against the Oklahoma City Thunder. It is on the table that they may hold him out the entire first-round series. To me, I just don't see how they can win it. Can I get to my real point and where my concern would be?
Sure.
It's that nut Chris Paul. And we know one of the knocks that you have to take serious with James Harden is sometimes he has mental weaknesses when it comes to big moments and when it comes to the playoffs and when it comes to we remember the series against the Spurs and the elimination game against the Spurs where he just disappeared. Chris Paul is going to be on his ass mentally that entire series. And when Russell Westbrook is there, I just feel it's different. I feel it's different, and he, like Russell, would be there for him. And Russell being out, Chris Paul is going to try his damnedest to get into the head of James Harden. And with Russ there, it makes you feel better about Harden and his history in terms of failing mentally. This, to me, is probably the biggest concern is Chris Paul will start from game one on James Harden's ass, and I'm not 100% confident that James Harden is past the mental issues that he has in the postseason.
Yeah, well, that's the scare for all Houston Rockets fans, right, is with or without Chris Paul or Westbrook injury, or regardless of anything we're discussing with each other different individuals. I mean, the fear across the city of Houston, across Rockets Nation, is simply – is Harden going to step up in the big moment and lead this team to a victory? And if Westbrook does come back and they're able to make a run, can he do it to catapult the Rockets into a finals situation and possibly a championship? I think that exists whether regardless who's on the other bench or who's on the floor with him. It is interesting. I do think that this is the way that this all unfolded. When Chris Paul was here, I remember when I first started here, the talk was Chris Paul's too old. Chris Paul can't play anymore. Chris Paul's lost a step. I didn't see it when I'm watching. Now, the injury, obviously, you can say, well, the injury happened because he's up in age, whatever. Injuries happen to young cats, old cats. It really doesn't matter. But I didn't see it. He was still playing at a nice clip. And in big moments, he was commanding the ball and doing really good things to help the organization win games. The interesting point was him. I don't think him and Harden ever meshed.
No,
him and Harden, they can say it wasn't a big deal, you know, on camera and interviews and all that kind of thing. But they on the floor, the chemistry was never there. And so you got to think that there was some animosity there. There's still probably some animosity there, and you got to think that Chris Paul is going to use that to his advantage in some way, shape, or form. That's the storyline here is what are the odds of what happened in Houston where Harden and Paul don't work out to where Morey decides he's going to trades him for Westbrook, and then you catch him in the first round of the playoffs, and I'll be damned if Westbrook ain't the one that's hurt and Chris Paul's full go. What are the odds that all of those stars align?
I mean, rarely,
and this is where we sit.
Rarely ever gets hurt. Gets tired, but rarely ever gets hurt, right? No, and I'm seeing it again. Like, they'll handle this Thunder team the same way they have in the past, including in the playoffs when they had Westbrook instead of Paul. So stop being a B-show. All right. And I'm just telling you, what a time in life we've arrived here in Houston that the Rockets fans are this confident without Russell Westbrook playing. 27 a game, 7 assists, 8 rebounds, your best rebounder. Eric Gordon just returning. Who knows? You need Eric Gordon to now score 20 points a game. You need him to pick it up. PJ Tucker can't hit the backside of a barn from 3. All right. Color me purple or
the only
red
pushback. The only pushback.
Whatever color.
The
orange.
Only pushback is Gordon. If Gordon and Tucker ain't on top of their game, they ain't winning no way, with or without Westbrook. It don't matter. So with or without Westbrook, you still got the same problem. Those two guys have to shoot the ball well and have to score points.
But now,
don't score 27, but they've got to score points.
But now without Russ, everybody's got to shoot it well. Ben McLemore, you come in the game, you got to shoot it well.
Daniel House, Robert Covington,
Austin Rivers, yeah. You got to shoot it well.
Whoever's on the floor for the Rockets, they have to shoot it lights out or they ain't winning. I mean, that's the way they're built. I mean, I love when you hear people on national TV talk, well, the Rockets, you know, if they don't shoot the three well, they're really? That's what the hell they're built to do. That their whole system is built around knocking down shots from beyond the arc, trading threes for twos. That's their whole system. If two of the three shooters don't shoot well, they're going to have a hard time winning games.
But their margin of error is completely different when Russ is there because they struggled against the Bucks. And
that's a fair
shoot.
Point. That's a fair point.
They struggled against the Bucks, but Russ was there with his damn 30.
Yeah.
And they
to still me that
able
to me that's a
Bucks.
Fair point. The margin for error show when Westbrook's available is much larger than when he's not. That we can go to battle with right there. That's the truth.
About that, Tyler. Took me 11 minutes into the segment.
You gonna shoot? You gonna shoot? You gonna like Kobe Bryant over here? You gonna shoot?
I'm gonna keep shooting these damn shots to finally get it. All right. There is a player for the Texans that I believe is really set for an enormous season, and I think the Texans better start preparing for how much he's going to cost. We'll get into that coming up next.
I can hit them all and ball like Chris Paul. Texans training camp is happening now. Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Yeah, that's my old friend.
Okay, Clint,
friend.
Let me concentrate now.
I'm just here to make you smile, bub.
All right, baby, I can't wait to listen to you. All right, man, I'm telling you, I've been listening to Deshaun speak about this player. I listened to Tim Kelly speak about this player. And then now I'm listening to the head coach, Bill O'Brien, who, by the way, will be live right here on Sports Radio 610. He'll be on with Mark Vandermeer and John Harris tomorrow, 8 o'clock. You want to be tuned in for that. Bill O'Brien, the head coach of the Houston Texans, will be on tomorrow right here on Sports Radio 610. But he was speaking about Will Fuller and the moves Will Fuller has made during the offseason to get ready for this season, even more making me feel better about this player.
He's worked hard, Rhett. I mean, he's really worked hard this offseason. He came back in good shape. You know, he did what was necessary during this kind of unprecedented time relative to workouts and where he could work out. He had a good trainer he worked with, and he's come back, and he's ready to go. And so, look, relative to the season and all those things, I think we got to take it one day at a time. But he's a very smart player. When he's played for us, like I've said a lot in the past, he's been very productive. And so the key is to keep him healthy, to have him out on the field, because when he's out there, he makes a lot of plays for our football team. We're doing everything we can to make sure he's there for 16 games.
That's Bill O'Brien speaking about Will Fuller. And Clint, I know that I'm probably alone on this, and that's fine. I don't mind standing. But I am completely sold on Will Fuller this season, just having a breakout season. I am completely sold on that. I mean, the bigger, the faster, the stronger, everything Deshaun said a couple weeks ago right there, Bill O'Brien. He seems to be a guy they really want to use, the big playability of him. I think the Texans better start getting ready to be thinking about preparing about how much he's going to cost. I think he's going to have a big-time season.
Yeah, look, 20 game, missing 20 games in three seasons really, really puts a damper on me getting real excited about Will Fuller.
And I get it.
There's no doubt about it, man, that this is a guy that is a difference maker and has been a really, really big-time explosive player opposite one of the best in the game in DeAndre Hopkins. There's no doubt about it that there is an elite skill set there in a sense that playing opposite a great, not being the center of attention, in that role, Will Fuller can absolutely light a defense on fire. There's no doubt about it. And I'm of the group, I've said it since day one, that I believe that Will Fuller can be, skill set wise, can be a number one in this league. I believe that Will Fuller can be Amari Cooper type of number one in this league. He's not going to be a Julio Jones. He's not going to be a DeAndre Hopkins. He's never going to be those guys. But he can be an Amari Cooper type of player in this league. And I don't know that there's too many people that would argue with me from a skill set that that's possible. But when you miss 20 games in three seasons, man, I think there's just a lot of people out there that are going to pump the brakes in a sense of get ready to pony up to pay this guy. I think 20 games in the last three seasons, I think is going to impact his ability, especially here in Houston. It's going to impact his top line money here in Houston, regardless of what happens this year with Bill O'Brien.
If he has a big time season, he's going to get paid. If he has a big time season and he plays through now, if he has a season and he plays eight games, then you know, what you're saying is, but if he comes out and he plays 15 games and he puts up the potential numbers that he could put up, he's going to get paid. Like I said, I'm completely sold at this point on Will Fuller, and people who may be texting in 713-572-4610, calling whatever. What Clint is saying, the injury thing, you're completely right. I understand. I like what I'm hearing from the fact that he's been working on his body in the offseason. He has been looking at things. He talked about getting somebody working on his posture, which they think could be a potential issue with the lower leg injuries that he's been getting. Some of you may think it's a farce. I just like the point of, all right, man, I got a problem. Let me try to work on this. Let me try to do things to improve my body by putting on weight, putting on strength, and doing these things. I think he's out. If he's out there 14, 15, yeah, 16 games, he is going to be dominant. I think the situation is perfect for him. You're right. He's not DeAndre Hopkins, right? He can't just, I don't think, consistently, here, I'm just going to take this thing over. But with the parts around him, they're good enough around him to where he can still go and beat the type of coverages that he will see. Because with Brandon Cooks on the other side, they're just not going to just blanket cover and just say, we got to completely take Will Fuller out because Brandon Cooks on the other side would hurt you. I think he's got enough around him where he can flourish to where he could be a poor man's version and affect his team the way that like a Tyreek Hill does. His speed down the field, people fear his speed, and it changes the way the offense is looked at because he's out there and his big playability.
Yeah, he's got a lot of work to do if he's going to be anything other than DeSean Jackson. I mean, that's where Will Fuller's at. I think his skill set, I think he can do, and I don't know. I haven't watched and studied DeSean Jackson the way that I have Will Fuller, and so I don't know what his route running underneath stuff is like. I don't know if he struggles with it, if he neglects it in his work. I don't know. But I know that DeSean Jackson has a low ceiling in terms of how much he's going to get paid because he's a deep threat. He's a speed guy. And so right now, I think that's the trajectory of Will Fuller is to be that guy. And now I do think that he's got a higher ceiling than that. I believe in Will Fuller that he can go beyond just being an elite speed guy and an elite tracker of the football. I think he's a guy that can help you underneath with routes. He's not afraid to go over the middle in the goal line types of situations. And so I think there's a higher ceiling there, but we got to see it show. I don't even think – I'll say this, man. If he plays 15 games and does well but isn't healthy in the playoffs, the Texans ain't – they're not re-upping. It's gonna hurt his top line. Now, if he could play 10 games and be ready in the playoffs, be ready to rock and roll to help this team in the playoffs, then I think he can make some noise, man. That's where he's at in his career, is that not only is the injury bug there, but if it's just minimal at the wrong time, week one in the playoffs, I think Bill O'Brien's had enough, man.
Maybe, yeah. With Bill, maybe he has had enough. We'll see. But I think now that Hopkins is gone, and we will see the impact that Will Fuller can have on the offense overall and what it could mean for other parts around him. And if these used correctly, which I think there is a chance with how they have the players around him built, that they will use him more as a focal point. I think they will look and see, oh damn, like this dude is huge, yeah, to this offense and helping other people get open
and his big play ability. Right? I said, people are texting on the text line about the injury stuff. You are well within your rights of feeling that. I get that. All right? Bit of this is a hunch for me, but I do like to hear that he is really working and changing his body and doing things to really improve that. And I'm telling you, that boy plays 15, 16 games. Will Fuller is going to be a problem in this offense. He's with the perfect quarterback for him. He is with great parts around him that will help his skill set. The offensive line is right. This to me, they better be prepared, I think.
I'm going to be interested to see this offense when they emphasize a screen game. I know that sounds elementary, but with these guys, their speed is going to give them a lot of cushion off the ball. The defensive backs are going to give them a lot of cushion off the ball, more so. Like, teams would not and should not have ever been afraid of coming up and bump and run, playing man-to-man defense versus Hopkins, because Hopkins don't want to separate from you. That's just his style of play, right? These guys, Brandon Cooks and Will Fuller, they should fear bump and run because they can get over the top and you're beat deep, and now you're on the sideline watching with the coaches, right? And so it's a different style of play, but because these guys are such a deep threat and speed is such a big part of their game, they should see a lot more soft coverage. And so when the DB starts off, say 6, 7, 8 yards off, then now your quick screens to your receivers should be more a bigger part of the game plan. Because when the corner's soft, then that allows the tight end or the tackle or the running back, whoever's pulling to block that corner who's covering the receiver man-to-man, now you've got a lane to run down. Now he's not connected with that receiver. Whoever's going to block him has a free lane to go do it, and it's easier to accomplish and execute that particular block. And so I'm just anxious to see across the board what these guys with this kind of speed and these backs, hell, and the tight ends. I mean,
that's what I'm saying, all of the pieces around it.
But I'm anxious specifically to see what they can do in the screen game. When you talk about Will Fuller's ability in the screen game to catch a screen underneath, Tytus Howard or Laremy Tunsil kicks out the corner that was crashing on him, and now if he can hit a seam with the speed, the 4-2 speed we're talking about, that's just an added element to these guys, repertoire, into what they bring to the game. And that's one thing that I just don't think the Texans have done a good job. Whether it was by design or not, I just don't think the Texans have really emphasized that aspect of offensive football. And I think that could help not only the offense make huge strides, but it could help those guys be much more explosive.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. As Tyler and Clint love to, the text line is now picking on me as well. From the 832, don't put that show curse on Will Fuller. There's no such thing as a show curse. And right now, you want to say it. This, to me, will break this whole BS thing that many of you are trying to call a show curse. When he comes out here with 11 or 1,200 yards and has a career year, and you see the influence on the offense, and we come back here in January or February, you say, show, you're right. There is no show curse. How? I mean, if you're going to come out and step in on a guy who always gets hurt, and he comes out as productive like this, they'll bow down.
You do what?
They'll bow down. They'll be like, you're right. There's no show. There's no show curse. There's no show. This is the ultimate. This is the ultimate.
This is it.
This is it right here. 832, Ron always shows odd bias. Texans are going to be a train wreck, but he's doing his best to hype them. The Rockets will have no problem with the Thunder. Sure. Odd bias. No Russell Westbrook. You're right. And the train wreck, because, the Texans, they've proven year after year, they're always a train wreck. Oh, wait, no, they're not. They're always in the playoffs, aren't they? No, they're not. So, Gerard Bias, out of here. No, right? Right? I mean,
I just speak.
Hey, I mean, look, I mean, you throw enough mess against that wall over there, something's going to stick.
Oh, just throw enough. Oh, that's what it is now?
You throw enough mess. You want to follow that big, bold prediction about Fuller with your apology to Greinke? I see that. You want to get that out of the way.
Let's go ahead and get that big, bold prediction.
Let's get that out of the way.
All right. I'm a man of my – I do owe Zach Greinke an apology. In terms of top of the rotation, number one starter – I thought that was finished. Greinke, I don't love it. His stuff screams five starter. His 87 mile an hour fastball.
You're the worst apologist ever.
It screams fourth.
Everything
or fifth
I said
starter.
Is right except for the actual outcome. He's balling.
Fourth or fifth starter. But he is balling. His last three starts, he has been absolutely sensational.
I like your voice.
That the Astros have needed from him, especially against that A's lineup. He shut him down, and his team, for some reason, generally when he pitches, doesn't really give a damn about scoring runs to help him. But he was fantastic and has been fantastic, even with his stuff, pitching and the changing speeds. He's been great, right? But I look at him, he had a real, real CC Sabathia look to him, the former Yankees pitcher whose velocity just took a nosedive, and he was throwing and looking a lot different, throwing 88 and 87. Now, we'll see the rest of the way, but these last three starts, Clint, he has been sensational. Show is wrong.
Yeah. show is wrong.
Not about Will Fuller.
But his stuff screams bottom of the rotation.
It does.
But.
Doesn't it? I'm sorry, 87 mile an hour fastball? Is that what you saw Garrett Cole and Verlander last year at the top of the order?
Well, no, there's different ways to skin a cat, man.
Yes.
Those are two polar opposites right there. There's no doubt about it.
Now, not a lot of aces skin the cat the way that with 87.
Well, let's be honest. Not many aces are standing on the mound calling their own pitches
either.
Oh,
that was fantastic.
I mean, that was great, wasn't it?
God, he explained after the game. Do you hear his explanation? He explained after the game why he did. Because I asked for Valdez to do this to what's that? What's the punk ass dude in for the Dodgers? Cody Bellinger. I asked him to do it to Cody Bellinger. He wouldn't do it. But this is Greinke explaining why he just started telling people the pitches. Oh, yes, the Greinke.
Where I shake a lot with the man on second, and then it gets confusing, and then the catcher will call timeout because we've messed up so many times, and then it takes like over 2 minutes, maybe even like 4 or 5 minutes sometimes, just to throw one pitch. And it's not something I like, but something that's happened probably like 5 times now, and I don't like doing it.
I loved it, man. Just put down the one. Put down the one. Come on. Zach, man. Dusty said Greinke being Greinke, that was it.
He's easy to like when the results are positive,
yes,
the way they've been likely.
I was thinking that last night.
When it's putrid, you're just like, come on, man, you can't be serious. And then when he's throwing the ball well,
it's cute.
It's like, yeah, this is cute.
This is my guy. But when he's throwing 48 pitches in 2 innings and –
what do you think he said when he smiled at Dusty last night when Dusty was pulling him off the mound? There's no doubt he was like, who are you bringing in here? Who are you bringing in here to blow this?
To me, I think he just looked at Dusty and thought everything he wanted to say, but never said it.
Hey, Coach, which one of the guys that you have not met yet are you fixing to come in here and ruin this gym I just threw?
Oh, we'll get to Dusty later when he goes out to the bullpen. Oh, man. And his miscommunication. My God. No, yes. Ron the show apologizes to Zach Greinke. I just want to put it out there. Yes, I apologize to Zach Greinke. All right? His stuff looked like bottom of the rotation guy, but he has been.
Can't do it. You can't just apologize, can you?
I bet
Courtney wears your ass out over you.
She says I have a problem.
When you try to apologize, I bet she wears your ass.
She says I don't say the word sorry.
You can't just say I'm sorry. You can't just say I was wrong.
You
can't just say, hey, I apologize. I was dead ass wrong.
Dead ass is strong.
No, you were dead ass wrong. You called. You said he was a 4 or 5 starter.
It
in
felt
rotation.
Like it really did, man. Come on, nobody else looking at Zach Greinke throwing 87, and his changeup was 85. The 2 miles difference.
I was sitting here when you said it. I was like, oh, maybe. Hell, I don't know. I mean, I didn't. I could have jumped down your throat if I disagreed, but I just. I let show do what show does.
Now people can Kansas City text it in talking about, yes, there is a show curse. Just missed one game.
Hold on, show.
One game. The big 3-3 coming up.
Greinke will do what Greinke will do.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.